Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, sisters and brothers and sisters. I'm glad to be in your presence one more day. Thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to get together and let's just relax and discuss the word of the Lord. Let's see what God has for us today. We have a special segment today. We are building a generation. Of course, we have a special guest with us, Deconstantine Polk. He is a renowned speaker for our young people of today, and it's all about building up that generation, raising up our future for today. So we are running a little bit late, so we're going to jump in there and dive in. How are you doing today, Brother Polk?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Awesome. I'm doing awesome. So we're going to go ahead and get started in here, and we're going to start with Scripture. Then after our scripture, I think you have a song for us. Is that correct?
Yes, I do. Yes,
all
I do.
All right. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So that is exactly what we're going to get started here with today. And our scripture today is going to come from the book of Judges.
Okay.
The book of Judges. And it is, I do apologize. We were going to do that one, but we were led to something else. It's the offer of life and death. So we're going to go to Deuteronomy 30 and start at verse 11.
Okay.
Hallelujah. And remember, sisters and brothers all around, we always come together and we bring our sword with us to make sure you take a moment to relax, kick off your shoes, get your sword. We got to make sure we have our weapon with us at all times, and we also need to educate ourselves for understanding. So we need a pen and paper. Remember, you know, that our people perish from lack of understanding. And what the word gives us, what God gives us, is not just for tonight, it's for continuous through our lives. And when we get it manifested in our spirits and in our souls, remember, we're not just to get fat off of God's word. We're to spread this on to someone else. Because if you don't need it tonight, your sister may need it tomorrow. If it's not your sister tomorrow, you can believe down the road you're going to meet someone, including yourself, who's going to need the word. Hallelujah. So remember, we believe in all of God's word from beginning to the end. So we're going to jump in and dive in all situations. This is for our youth tonight, parents. This is for our youth. So we invite you to call in, get in the chat rooms. Again, that guest call-in number is 646-652-4916. Hallelujah. As we have our sword ready, and we're in Deuteronomy, we're in chapter 30, and we're going to start with verse 11. Read. Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it, nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth, sisters and brothers. It is in your heart, sisters and brothers, so you may obey it. We continue reading verse 15. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, decrees, and laws. That you, then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. Hallelujah. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods or worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land as you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah for the word. Hallelujah for the word. I'm going to add a little bit on to that one as we go back into 19. It says, now choose life so that you and your children, I'm going to even add on to that your children's children. Let this generation thing start building right now. Do you see the word, sisters and brothers? Do you see the word he's trying to get to us? Do you see the importance of it? Do you see that he only said, I'm not going to put it in the heavens so you can see who am I going to choose to get to the heaven to get this. I'm not going to put it beyond the sea. He said, I don't want this out of your reach. So I'm putting it in your mouth. I'm putting it in your heart. I'm putting it where you can grab onto it, where you can use this daily. So no one will have an excuse why not or how not to get this word, how not to choose life, to choose death. Hallelujah. That's just the way God is. That's why we love the Lord, because he goes out of his way to give to us what it is that we need. Will you accept it today? Will you accept it today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the reading of your word. Let's meditate on that, sisters and brothers, as we're going through something. Let our children know that we have a choice in life, to offer life and death. Hallelujah. Many things is set before just in those verses there from 11, chapter 30, 11 through the ending of it, verse 20. That could just build up a relationship with your child. Build up a relationship with that sister who's wandering around and not in her right mind, not thinking about the choices she or he is making. If we have the answers, it's up to us to deliver them, to share with our sisters and brothers, or we'll be held accountable. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. We thank you for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, let's just go ahead and dive into, we're going to praise and worship with a song that is selected by our brother DeConsulin tonight, and then we're going to get back in here and get into building a generation. All right now.
All right.
Well, lift your voice and give us praise right now. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of the Lord. I feel the presence of the Lord in the room. In the room.
Feel him in the
room tonight.
Thank you.
Hey, hey, I feel the presence.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. His presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you know that you, his presence is with you? Hallelujah. At all times, when you can feel the presence, regardless of what you're going through, when you can feel the presence, hallelujah, just brings you through. You just walk through with another. You know that everything is going to be all right. Well, hallelujah. That just brings us back to our youth today because, you know, as we look around at all the different things that are going on in the life of the young people, we look at what's going on in their parents' life. Parents are getting younger and younger.
Amen.
So they're not instilling into their kids things because the great grannies, what we knew as grannies, those grannies are not the grannies of today.
Amen.
Amen. What you got on that, brother?
And that's exactly, I think that's our point. I think we have to get back to the way we were raised and really start instilling in the kids a sense of self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to show them that they are worthy of true love and capable of everything as long as it's through Christ. So I'm thinking that today's topic, I think it hits right up the alley. I think we need to examine the role of the parent, and also I think it's neglected that we have forgotten as a community that our mothers, yes, they raised us. They had direct contact, but it was also the community that was involved.
Mm-hmm.
When you were out and thinking about trouble and you're away from your mom, there were several eyes, and those people were not worried about getting spoke out when they went back to the parents or any treachery, but they were able to tell the parents what happened, and sometimes they actually disciplined you on the spot, and then when you got home, you got another discipline. So that's no longer heard of. I mean, there's so many people that are just wandering around and like, it's not my problem. But it becomes a problem when these kids get so far out of control by having their souls unattended when they break into your house, when they do something treacherous against one of your loved ones. Then we want to worry. But I challenge your listeners to actually step outside their box. Your children may be fine. Well, then you have more parenting that you can do to someone else's child. It does not hurt or cost us anything to be concerned, to offer what we could do. And I think that as parents and as a community, I think that if we go back to the way things were and adapt those teachings for today's youth, I think we'll be better off.
Wow, you got a mouthful there. That's just a mouthful. I just want to interrupt you one moment just to get back in here. You said so much in that. Sister Barbara, hello there. I see you there. God bless you. God bless you. Feel free to jump in. The counseling, you got so much going on right there. You started, I don't even know where to start it. You're right. It takes a village to raise the kids. Then you went on and told us why the village is not raising the kids any longer.
Exactly.
You spoke a little bit on because now if I come and try to discipline your child, you're coming back on me.
Exactly. Exactly. Rather than supporting you and actually thanking you for being concerned about mine, stepping outside of that which that you really don't have to be. But I thank you for letting me know that my child is being detrimental to society or himself. Rather than give you that praise, the parents of today, they will cuss you out. They will try to fight you. They will try anything rather than to stop and look at their own child.
So now then, that means that the child who is leading by our example sees that the parent, how they're reacting. So when they see me, they say, well, that's just Evangelist Vaughn. That's not my mom. She can't tell me what to do. Let me continue to do my wrongdoing in front of her. I don't have to say yes, ma'am, to her. She's not my mom.
Exactly.
And if she say anything to me, I tell my mom.
So we pass those bad habits and those curses down to our children, and they continue to perpetrate throughout the line. We can always go back to the beginning and see where things went wrong. We need to step back and really reevaluate. We need to break these curses. I call them generational curses. We need to break those curses and realize who we are and what we can become. Some of these kids have never been told that you can be anything other than a basketball player or a rapper.
That's right.
Rather than, well, what about president? I thank God for Barack Obama. I thank God because he, whether he wins or not, he's done more for our young black men and black girls than in the past 10 years. Because now they're able to see that there is some place other than a court or a music studio that I can go.
Amen.
And with hard work and determination, I can do this.
Amen.
I thank God for being able to be a part of this era.
Isn't that something that, you know, you just hit another nail because, like you said, what we're teaching our kids, we're always telling them, do you remember back when we were growing up, we were told you can be whatever you want to do. Just
exactly.
get your education. It was pushed
exactly.
in that direction. Where now it's just like, you know what? You can be a basketball player. You know, you can be a rapper. And then we're finding examples. Do you know that this person never finished school? And look at him
exactly.
at where he's at now, the big rapper he's at. This person
exactly.
never did well in school. He didn't do anything in school. And look what he's
mm-hmm.
doing, all the money he's making. Because we're telling so much on the money. And the money is getting in the way of us helping, keeping this world revolving. We all have a part to play in this thing. And just one more thing. It's just that. So as we do that, every family, regardless of race, has someone in that family who is sick. They can
exactly.
look in any direction and find some sick. Why are we not instilling in our youth to become doctors for healing, to go
exactly.
into to the healing professions, to go
exactly.
into something that's going to help the next generation, to help their loved ones? It's all about teaching them what will get you some instant cash now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, wow. We're destroying our youth. We're destroying our youth. And tonight, that's why I invited you on here, because I wanted your word on how we should start by building up this generation, because they're going to be leading this world one day.
Exactly.
Hallelujah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, I think that one of the things that we have to do, and you brought up a point that I want to hit real quick, is the education
mm-hmm.
part. You know, I know that you and I were both raised with the same motto in my house. You
uh-huh.
will go to church and you will go to school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing about it is, though, nowadays, these kids are seeing how hard it is out here for their parents, and they're wanting things easy. So it's easier to go to the court rather than pick up that book.
Yeah.
We have to get back to the subject of, if you want a secure way out, a first class ticket, you have to come with the education. Education, education, education.
Mm-hmm.
Accepting no C as a treat, but really striving for the ceiling. But I think how we get there, Evangelist, is really we have to engage our children. It's never too late to engage our children. It's not hard to bring up subjects that we know that we dealt with as children, that they have to be dealing with them. You know, I told my children that the same devil you're facing is the same devil I faced.
Mm-hmm.
It's just coming in different packaging.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the internet. We didn't have MTV, really.
Mm-hmm.
But the devil is just coming in different forms, and if we as parents don't be careful and engage our children, they will start looking at that life, that secular life, that worldly life, as the top, rather than if I have favor from my God, that's more than any contract you can give me. Any tour I can be on, I can get more with just his favor. So we have to engage our children in conversations, get on their level, explain to them what's really going on, that you don't have to wear short skirts. You don't have to have your chest hanging out. You don't have to sleep around. This is what they're promoting. So we have to take their view off of the world and put it on what's real, what's going to stand, what's going to last.
Hallelujah.
My mother used to tell me that they can't take your education. No matter how hard they try, that's one thing they can never take from you. And that's what I wanted. I wanted to be secure in my own. She instilled me that sense of self, that self-worth. And I think we have to engage our children to the point to where they understand who the devil is, his methods, his trickery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they make their video games so big and bright now. Well, no one of the kids are becoming addicted.
That's right.
Have you sat down and actually saw one of them games and really, oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
But we have to let them know that everything, my mother used to say it, everything that glitters is not gold.
That's right. Oh, I got so much that I want you to touch on, but I just want to run back and rewind a little bit. As you see, I'm sure you can sense, too, that this is going to be a continuation and this is not going to be done in just one night, right?
Right.
But let's go back. You know everything. Can you see how this pattern has started way back when? We just started by talking about that. Now the village can no longer raise the families because the parents is now getting involved. So you know how it used to be. If we went outside and we had a disagreement with the ones that we were playing with, you know, it was we had to find a way to mend that thing.
Exactly.
You may not ever be the one that say that we're going to be best of friends, but we all got to play out here together, and we got to find a way to play together and make this thing work. Well, see, now, like you said, the village can't raise the kids. So now instead of doing that, so the parents say, well, I'm just not going to let you go out to play. So now I keep you inside. So now what's inside for you to do? Why, the kids used to be outside playing. Mom could be inside cooking dinner. She could be inside doing some extra cleaning or some washing. She could be inside doing the praying over the room. She could be anointing that room. She could be going in there looking to see what the child's got in the room that shouldn't be in the room. Well, now she can't do that, so now she's got the child locked in the house. So now it's easy for her to get the TV, MTV, to babysit the kids. It's easy for her to let them turn on any video that's going to be sitting there with the breasts hanging out, with the shorts hanging out. So when the kid starts to see this over and over again, you're right, they want that mentality too because they are getting the idea that this is my mentor. These are my mentors now. Mama somewhere back here, I don't know, that's my mentor that I get to see. There used to be a difference between a person from New York and a person from Mississippi. You could automatically tell the difference. That gap is closing now. You got the Dirty South doing their thing just like they're doing in New York, you know? That gap is closing because of the technology, and the parents are moving out of the way and pushing that technology into the hands of our children.
Well, and as you stated earlier, another cause for that effect is because the parents are getting younger.
Amen.
The parents are no longer equipped with life experiences. They're babies raising babies. So
take your time on that. All right.
Now the child wants to go to the club. Well, meets the mother in the club, and in some instances, the grandmother's there too. You know, you have to look at these things and be like, oh my gosh, you know, what happened to Big Mama? What happened to that firm hand that everybody knew? Everybody had one. But now Big Mama has nails, tight jeans, got the hair done, weave, and everything else. So
Big Mama's showing you how to shake it.
Exactly. So you really have to stop it at some point. At some point back when it got away from us, there's no more Big Mama, now there's Little Mama. We can still break that curse, though, because now with your children, you can instill in them, I did this. It may not have been the wise decision. You were not a mistake. But let me show you this other point of view.
That's right.
And it's really taking ownership of yourself and really saying, do I really want my child to go through these same struggles as I did?
Amen. Amen.
How did I get there? Let me tell my child how I got there.
Mm-mm-mm. So it just right back here, just where we just started at when we started out with our scripture. Verse 17, again, of Deuteronomy 30, verse 17, just tells us again. He said, but if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, what we're just speaking about, the big mamas, the mamas, all down the generations, they're not being obedient to the word. It said, if you're not obedient, and if you are drawn away, whatever it is, a man, a woman, alcohol, drugs, the club, whatever it is, he said, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them. Oh, we got so many things out here now that people are worshiping. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I mean, we got so many things that they're worshiping. Yes. He said, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. And don't we just see that happening? Don't we just see that happening? You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and to possess. We're not going nowhere. We're not crossing anywhere. We're not possessing anything.
Stagnant.
Hallelujah. We got generations just falling dead. We got 20-year-olds having heart attacks now.
Exactly.
Just blowing up their hearts. It's so many things. We're not obedient. We're not being obedient to the word of God. He said, I put before you life, death, and our children are just choosing what they see us choose.
Exactly.
We're just choosing what we saw mama choose. And you're right. When the mothers now are 15 and 16 years old, and that mother, how in the world are they expected? And grandmother, who's 29 and 30, saying, you know what, I'm not raising that one.
Exactly.
So it's on the neighbors. It's on whoever that wants to come and get it today. Where are the fathers at? The fathers is like, well, I'm 15 years old, you know?
And that's a whole nother topic. That's a whole different show. I have a lot to say to the fathers, to the men of our country. Let's be men, but move on.
Wow, it's just, so it's got our building, our generation. You're right, Satan is playing the same tricks. He's just using new faces now. And it speaks about in the Bible and the Tanakh, the Old Testament, it talk about the strongholds. Generationals down just had those holds just strong and just manhandling, just holding on to them. But we're not saying it because, again, Satan has the dangly things. He's got the gold jewelry. He's got so many things, He's got the labels on your clothing. That makes you important. That you're living life now. You have the rim on your
heart.
So instead of building that generation, it's just been torn down. So now God has chosen ones like you and I. And this day and time, to come in and build up a generation, to build this generation up. And it's not going to be easy.
See, one thing I think that is definitely missing, because back in our day, the mothers and the fathers, they would be at their watchtowers looking for the devil's trickery. I never truly understand the scripture, watch and pray.
Mm-hmm.
I never understood that until my children come along.
Mm.
That I have to be attentive. I have to be watching out, because one of my friends said to me, well, you really do a lot with your kids, and everything, and you're trying to keep them out. Why do you do that? And I said, well, the thing about it is, I have to be as active or even more active than the devil.
Amen.
He's coming at my kids 24/7, even when I'm not at home, even when I'm not aware.
Mm.
So I have to make sure that I'm at my post, that you're not going to get them on my watch. And I think that is a huge difference, because I remember Mama used to sit in the bed, and I would be asleep, and then I would roll over and see her, and she'd be going through her Bible in the middle of the night. In the middle of the night. There was no church around. It was no pew. It was no choir around. It was just in the middle of the night in her nightgown at home. And I used to wonder, why is she doing that? Well, she knew she had a child there. She had to make sure that this child made it out.
Hallelujah.
That's why that she stayed on her guard 24/7.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to do. And I think that's one of the key things that we're missing in this battle, in this war. We're not watching
in this battle, in this war. We're not even teaching our youth how to honor up for this war.
Exactly.
We got so many suicides because we're not teaching them how to pray till something happen. Keep pushing on whatever it is, that disappointment today, whatever it is that you were trying to accomplish that you seem to have got knocked down on. We're not teaching them to. We're passing the drink on to them. You need a drink.
Exactly.
We're
exactly.
passing the drugs on to them. You need this. We're not teaching them how to pray until something happens. We're not teaching them how to get up and armor yourself and start with the helmet of salvation. And don't you stop until you're walking into your boots of peace.
One of my colleagues suggested
that you can bring all your requests.
Exactly. One of my colleagues suggested that we send our kids in this battle out naked, and we expect them to win the fight.
Yeah, yeah.
Would we really send our men and women over to Iraq with just 22 calibers? That's what we're doing with our youth in this
That's
world.
Right.
We're
That's
sending
right.
them out with no protection, no armor. Heaven forbid something happens to us. Because
right.
then what will they do?
Yeah.
My mother used to say you have to have strong roots.
Mm.
Never understood that one either until I got kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have to prepare them, and we're not.
So what is it that we're lacking as Christians that now that we bought some of the things to surface and scratched and look them in the face that is wrong for the world, what is we as Christians, what is the church not doing? Because we have these same young people in our churches, the same ones in our churches. So what is it that we have as the church is not doing or should be doing? What is our citizen state? What can we recommend to our citizen states to do when we should be getting started? Why are we not having the lock-ins? Why are we not making it taking out the time for the youth? Because we'll have the grown people. We'll have their time, and they'll get up in there, and then we'll say, okay, we'll throw one Sunday over here for the youth. You come up here and sing a song today and do your little thing and, you know, go back to the pew. We're not seeing it. Why sometimes we're in a praising the Lord that they've slipped out and they are back of the church now, you know? We are responsible. We have got to start doing something. We have got to get into their lives and see. We've got to listen to our youth, first of all. We must listen and stop dictating so much. We've got to listen to where they're at right now. Because Jimmy may be at a place that Sally has already been, and she needs another direction right there. But God has somebody right there ready for Sally. But we can't just get up and just spew out the word in one direction. This is what you should do. This is your problem. And if you do this, you'll be fine. We've got to get somebody who's concerned and get in there deep with Jimmy. Jimmy may have been through some stuff that we don't even know about yet. Jimmy said, I wish I could just walk out and do this here and that would be over. We may have to give some extra help, but that means that's going to take a little bit of our time.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that instead of me running in to watch American Idol tonight, which I don't watch, but whatever, you know, my thing may be, I may have to dedicate that time and tie that over here to trying to pray with Jimmy tonight. I have to tie that into doing something with Jimmy tonight. What else do you see that it is that we're responsible for that we need to be passing on to our youth?
Well, I think with that, I think the attitude towards children, now maybe tell me your view on this. I feel that we do not validate the children enough. I think that we look over them. I think that we think that they'll just be fine. That's why we don't show them enough in the church setting, because I think that we don't feel their importance. We try to give them stuff so they don't be a distraction. But as far as pushing them to the forefront and really being mentors and really getting them active with the adults, I think we forget that they will one day will be adults.
That's right.
I don't think that we show them the proper level of attention. And I think that if we really started to really see their worth and see that they are the key, they will take care of us one day.
That's right.
They will have to run this world. I think if we put them in their proper place and so they can see their importance, I think that is one of the biggest steps that we as a church community can contribute to the world,
mm-hmm.
is really showing them how to be true, active Christians.
That's right.
True, active, productive people in society. We don't do that. We have the shows like you do, you know, like you said. You know, they get up one Sunday, and then they'll do the ushering, and they'll do the choir. And that's it. You won't hear from them until the next month.
That's right. That's
we have right. to stop that.
Awesome. That is so true. I see that the young people, they will come and they are on fire. They got a different yearning going on inside
mm-hmm.
of them. Young people today, when they latch on and they see so
yes.
much falsehoods out here in the world,
yes.
they see so many people that are sitting on the church pews every Sunday, but it's getting up. Well, they don't even have to leave church now to do wrong because they
exactly.
inside of the church doing what they need, what they know that they should not be doing. So when they see these things, it turns them away because they come to me and they say, "Evangelist, I want to know the real God. But
exactly.
I want to know the God that I felt when I went and dedicated my life to him. I don't
mm-hmm.
want to sit here and just be inside of this church. I don't want to come out of this church and I see deacon this and sister
mm-hmm.
that, and they back in here, and I spoke to them out here, and they looked at me like, who are you?
Exactly.
You know, you're not my four, so, I
mm-hmm.
that's all I'm concerned about. I want to be somebody that everywhere I go, my life is an example that, guess what? I don't have to tell anybody, do you know who I am? I'm sister da-da-da-da-da from this church and that.
Exactly.
But the person would know that, you know what, young person, I don't know who you are, but it is something about you that I just want to know. The anointing
mm-hmm.
just flowing. They want to know a real God. They really want to get in it. They want to work outside of the four walls of a church.
Mm-hmm.
They want to dwell in every bit of their life. But if we find that trying to build that generation up, it's not enough builders. It's not
exactly.
enough builders. We have a lot of people that once the person has got built up and they're ready to go off on their own and help lift and pull somebody else up, then, yeah, then the church will invite you in. Come on back. Yeah, this is our member. I remember you when you was a little boy. You come and sit down here and do this. But let's get
exactly.
out and do some intercessories for take that young man that know that he was out in the street. Let's get him to bring
exactly.
in more. We don't
exactly.
welcome those. We don't welcome that in the church. We don't welcome that in the church. It's falsehood.
Mm-hmm.
Falsehood. And then can't you see that the time is winding up, the counselor? Did
oh
you hear
God.
About today that it was 10,000 people died today in that it wasn't
Walmart.
A hurricane.
Walmart.
Right.
Yes. Today
mm-hmm.
over in one of the Asian nations there, you know,
mm-hmm.
10,000, that's the count that they have now.
Exactly.
Time is winding up. Somebody, we have got to be responsible for what we have that the God has given to us. And you can go into any hospital in the United States. Somebody else is still having another baby. Another one every day. Another one. Another one. Another one. But no one is taking out the time and dedicating them back to the Lord. So they're coming out here as fallen creatures.
And actually really just showing them by example, how just to be right, mm-hmm. how just to just go through this great thing called life and do right and just really prosper in God.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have it. I'm really seeing now that my kids are getting on up in age that they really learn by example. If they see it, I mean, my son can see a dance on TV, and he'll have it within an hour. But they learn that way.
Yes,
and so if I was just of the world out there not really doing anything, and that's what I think is a lot of the problems for the fathers and mothers, that we get too consumed with us and forget about that there are some other people that did not ask to be here that we are responsible for. We need a break.
Amen.
We need a break. I need to go cut a rug like I used to do.
Mm-hmm.
We really need to take it back and really start leading by example. If you want your child to read a book, get a book yourself. Read with your child. Say, hey, just like me and my daughter are doing right now. Well, she's reading the book To Kill a Mockingbird. Of course, I read it back in seventh grade. It's one of my favorite books. But both of us is reading it.
That's
both
right.
of us reading, because I'm going to ask you questions that you're going to need to answer.
Amen.
So it's a project that's not only promoting togetherness, it's promoting communication, and it's also keeping her out of the streets. I know where
Amen.
You are because we're actually studying.
Amen.
So we really have to start showing these kids, because that's what we had. Because when we came up, I mean, people were just hard workers. No one does hard work anymore.
Oh no!
No
it's
hard work
fix.
Anymore.
Everything
yeah,
is
quick.
Quick,
I want more money for it.
That's right. You said about you and your daughter with the book. See, that's a gap thing too, because you know now parents can only help their child to maybe the
yeah.
third or fourth grade.
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
times are so advanced. These
exactly.
third and fourth graders are doing things that we were doing in sixth grade. They're already doing
exactly.
it in fourth grade. And then
exactly.
they're doing it. I mean, doing it. Well, the parents barely got through themselves because they were 15
right.
and 16 when they had to quit because of
right.
the baby they was carrying. So now, after about the third or fourth grade, they're lost themselves. They're lost.
Exactly. Exactly.
So they
and
are, you know what?
People have so much pride. Yeah. Rather than saying, okay, baby, I don't know, let's both you and I go get help.
That's right.
Okay. They'll leave it up to the child and say, okay, you figure it out. Well, which one would you choose? I don't know how to do it, and you're really not going to make me do it, so I guess I'll go ahead and let that go. But
that's
rather
why
than being,
we have to
be proactive. Exactly, got to be proactive.
I remember raising my kids, and in the Omaha school system for my at elementary levels,
mm-hmm.
they actually each time that they would get ready to go into a new subject, they would do a refresher for the
yes.
parent, and
yes.
they would send you a little letter home, and they would let you know we're going to be starting fractions. This, you know, next week. So your date, you have to come in, and you had to choose your time, and you
uh-huh.
had to come in, and they would get all the parents together in a little room. They weren't singling no one out. And
right.
the teacher would just do a refresher of what
exactly.
she's going to be teaching, the method that she's going to be showing how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, my God, wasn't that wonderful? That was just
yeah.
awesome. So now, even now, as I'm going back through helping my little one, I do the same. I go to her school, and I tell her teacher, let me know what you're going to be doing in advance, and you go ahead
mm-hmm.
and show me exactly your method that you're doing. Because there's a lot of the math, that the way that
exactly.
I used to get the answers. Oh, no, they
exactly.
don't get the answers like that anymore. It takes
That's
too
right.
long.
They
That's
got right.
the answer, and they're gone.
Exactly.
So it has helped me, you know.
Exactly.
Like going back and staying involved with it and moving pride out of the way and walk in the
yeah.
door and say, hey, I want to help my child. That's the most important thing.
Exactly.
So I need to know the way that you got this out, because I got it, but she told me something totally different, you know?
Right.
Pride needs to be pushed out of the way.
Exactly.
We can't grow with all of this stuff we're tackling on our backs, putting another monkey on our backs. That pride.
That's right.
We have got to, we've got to do some things. We've got to make a difference in here. Hallelujah.
And we also have to replace the negative with positive.
Oh,
we have to make sure that when we do take something away that we are deeming to be detrimental or just not good for you, I have to have a plan to replace it. If not, the devil's going to replace it himself.
Amen. Amen.
So you really have to stay attentive and say, okay, well, I'm going to be proactive in your school. Well, no, well, because your grades, you can't play basketball. Well, then what does the child do?
That's right. That's
you
right.
Go through the options that you had if your mother wasn't attended, which I shudder to think, oh, my God. Okay, so then I know I have to give him something else to do with his time to make him productive.
Amen.
And when we sit back and just allow other people to control the whole situation, you know, be the parent, the teachers being the parent and coming home to the parent of the computer game and the parent of the phone, we have to really be attentive and see what our children are doing, what are their interests, who are they hanging out with, what are their surroundings? What am I placing my child in?
Amen. Yes.
I don't believe that these kids all just say, I just want to just be bad.
Amen.
I don't believe that. I believe we can actually control the environment to the way that where productivity is the only thing that can come from it. And we have to, and there was one thing that I always tell my kids, you know, like when we go to church, you know,
mm-hmm.
I had to sit with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
There was no children church. I sat right down, got the same word that my mother got.
That's right.
And nowadays, we in church, we're so quick to let them get away, let them go to children's church, and we really don't know what is being poured into them. They have to sit with you. You have to be totally engrossed in their life. They have to be entangled. Yes, you need some adult time, but you really have to make sure that your children are in the proper environment and you're being proactive to head off any of these things that we've been discussing.
That's right. That's right. Because how you know that your child, some children are on different levels. And if you all group them in and one little thing together, it's your responsibility, because it's so easy for us to just say, just go to children's church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, when they come back, you need to discuss what was learned in children's church.
Exactly.
Your child may be ready to move on up off of that level and take them to a higher level. Because
exactly.
Don't ever teach a child that you're only a child so you can only receive this much of the anointing.
Exactly.
God said, I have it set here, you know, out of the mouth of babes. He can use those
that's
of
right.
His precious little ones.
That's
don't
right.
ever, we should never tell ourselves we can't learn from this child, because God has used, he said, I use whoever I want. You're
that's
all
right.
mine. He said, I am who I am, and as long as you get this word, regardless of who I give it to and deliver it through,
that's
it's
right.
up to us. We are so... so easy to pass that buck on to somebody else, to somebody else. But I thank you. I thank you so much. I invite you, please, let's carry this to another level.
Wonderful.
We're going to be starting this Friday. It's going to be our kickoff for our youth. Every Friday, we're going to try to get influenced youth to call in. Let our young people call in, and let's just talk about what's on their mind. And let's
okay.
just get, because if we can hear what's going on their mind, then we know that we say, well, we know the answers. We can help you point them in the right direction.
Exactly.
You know, but if they keep just asking their friends, and then there's just like, you know, what's the saying, the pot calling the kettle black. It's just like one misunderstanding going to another misunderstanding, and it's just not, and it starts from everywhere, from hygiene with our young ladies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so much out there that is being left just not discussed with our young people. And
that's, right.
and that's what we're trying to do. We have, you know, little 4 and 5 year olds that are totally out of control right now. You know, I heard down in your area that those third graders who had set up this whole plot, you know,
to kill the teacher
because she told one of them to get off of a chair because they may injure themselves.
Yes.
And they sat together and planned the whole thing of how they was going to do it, and even brought weapons to school.
Exactly.
It is time out. It's
and
time
it was
out.
Girls and boys. It was girls
now
and boys, not
for show.
Right. It's time. It's time.
And we're losing our teachers, our gut teachers, because of situations like this. And so what's happening, we're allowing them molesters and everything to slide through the cracks and get into the system, and now they're leading our classrooms.
That's right.
And we haven't even got a chance to do the whole background on them, but we needed someone up here to teach the class. But this is the molesters. This is the one, the predators that's preying on our youth, if not sexually, is mentally, it is messing up their emotions. We have to stop and say, hey, this is time. I will take a stand against this.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So we're starting. I know this is Mother's Day weekend that's coming up. We got a family fast and prayer that's going on for the month of May. And we're just praying for all mothers. And we're going to do some different segments on mothers. I think this Thursday we got a special segment coming up for the remembrance of the Holocaust. We have a young lady that's going to come in and speak to us about that, one of our Russian Jews, because this past weekend, I think, was the remembrance of the Holocaust. So she's going to give us some information about that. And Friday, we're going to jump right into it with our youth. So I invite you to definitely call us back for them. But it's the more things. We need to get more parents involved so we can get this thing worked out. So we do. We're running short here on time. I want to give that call-in number again, and it is 646-652-4916. Also, invite your parents to that they can call in and just listen to the program, get the information that they need, that they, if they didn't make the program tonight, they can get in there, get the information that they need to give back and take it back to the household. Let's start seeing a difference in this thing. Whatever we have, let's share it on with someone.
Yes.
Before we leave, we want to invite anyone who doesn't know the Lord. Anyone. It starts with the grandmother, the mother. I don't care what your age is. I go to nursing homes. It is 80-year-old people in there and older who has never found a relationship with the Lord. They remember some religion somewhere down in their life, but they never have found a relationship. And so whatever your age may be, if you accept in your heart that God is the only true God, that he gave his only one and begotten son, that you may be saved, and that son, Jesus Christ, if you believe that he died and God rose him from the dead, that you may be saved, confess it with your mouth and your heart, and God said that you are saved. Hallelujah. God is a saving God. God is a forgiving God, and God is wanting to do favor in your life, mother, in your life, father, in your lifestyle. We're raising up our future. We're going to be breaking a generation. This is just a tip point. DeConcelyn, you got to come back. You got to come back. We got to do some more of this.
I will.
Most definitely.
I want to tell you, I really enjoyed it.
Yes, go ahead.
I was just saying that it's been a truly an honor, and I definitely appreciate this. And you will have me back very, very soon.
Oh, most definitely.
I would just like to say that I just enjoy just listening in. and absorb all of it. It's been a very good session. I'm listening in a lot, and I observe a lot, and I get a lot. But this has been very nice tonight.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. And we see our guest is in our chat rooms. God bless you. Any special prayer, just leave it in the chat room. God bless you. I'll be in the chat room very soon there. God bless you all. We remind everyone that God bless women in power, teen in power, and men in power. And today's scripture, again, Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 20, take time and meditate it. Get it in your heart, in your spirit. And to everyone that ends our show, God bless you. We love you. And until the next time, always remember, you can come back and join us at any time, any time. And
okay.
Right now, we are actually off of the air, but God bless you. I thank you all for coming in. And just let me know when you're ready to get this thing back going, and let's continue this.
Okay. All right.
All righty. All righty then. Have a good night.
You too, sweetie. Love you.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.